Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Healing Hour, and I'm your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and this is our 1,094th show that we are doing live on Purpose Kingdom Network. This is, once again, Purpose Kingdom Network, PKN. You can reach us at Purpose Kingdom. It's just blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And you can listen to all the shows. And also, I want you guys to call in. Please call in because we have a different topic for the day. And just an exciting topic, something new, something fresh. And once again, I told you that we are going to revamp the show a little bit. I know I normally do our opening scripture, our open word of encouragement. And we're still going to do that. But we're also going to do different things, like we're going to give evangelism tips for the month. Last week, I was with you, the last time I was with you guys, I was hoarse. I could barely talk, but we made it through the show and we got through it. And this time, I'm feeling a little better. Everything's running smooth, and we're going to get through the show together. So, once again, like I said, call in. I'm giving you the number right now. 319. Let me get it one time for you. Brother Rob, can you give us a number for me, please? I lost it. If you can chime in real quick and just throw us a number, I'll be the number and the website real fast. Thank you, sir.
Yes, not a problem. Phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And you can also call in at 323-870-4174. And our website, we're on Blog Talk Radio, is www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. All right.
All right. You see how smooth you just transitioned that in? I lost the number. I had it on my phone so I could read it. And then it just went away. Like the screen just went black on me. And he just like switched through right into me the phone number. Thank you, Brother Rob. I appreciate it. Don't nobody give out their phone number better than you do. I don't care what nobody say. You do it the best. And like I said, we go for our motivational scripture. And our motivational scripture, it comes from the book of Isaiah, that is Isaiah 28. We're going to read verses 18, and then we're going to end at verse 20, and it says, "And your covenant with death shall be this null." Covenant with death shall be this null. "And your arrangement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." Let me pass that again. He said, "Your covenant with death will be annulled. Your arrangement." Isn't it amazing that we had an arrangement with death? We had an understanding that, hey, this was supposed to be our end. And God said, hey, that thing that was supposed to happen, it's annulled. It's completely wiped out. The arrangement that we had, the setup, the decision that was made because of our fall, because of our, you know, transgression, God says no longer would that arrangement stand. It's annulled. We had an arrangement with death, and it's annulled. And I definitely just want to let us know that, you know, for those things that are dying, for those things that are not where they should be, that arrangement has been annulled. We have also, just want to put into this, I always say that now that we're doing the show for the new year, we're going to really stick with evangelism. We're going to talk about ways to evangelize. I have been blessed to go around to different churches and teach an evangelism system, to teach how to teach churches how to perform outreach, get into their communities. And, you know, a lot of times what I found out is churches don't do outreach, not because they don't want to, but simply because they just don't know how. So one of the tips that I want to leave with you today is get to know your community. Get out. Talk to the people. Talk to, you know, talk to the neighbors in the area. Knock on the doors. Just say hi. Let them know that we're a church in the area. Get to know your neighbors. It is so important that we get to know our community. A lot of times we go into church and we just sit there and we have our services and we praise God, and we never open the doors for people to see that we're here. And we never just give people a chance to get to know who we are. And we isolate ourselves from the rest of the community. But no, we definitely have to change that. We have to change that idea. We have to change that persona. And the part of that is just getting to know the people around you. Knock on the door, say hi. We're a church in the area, and we've been here for a little while, and we just like to let you know that where we are and where we're located, and we would love to have you come into our service. It seems like nothing, but when I tell you, a personal invitation, a smile, somebody that cares is so valuable. People really want to know that you care. Nobody cares how much you know, and so they know how much you care. So our evangelism tip is to get out in the community and get to know the people around you. Now, I had this big, huge, and trust me, I didn't even get to the rest of the scripture because that first part was so good. But I had this big, huge title, and it's called Did God Lie? Now, a lot of people be like, well, I know Brother Rob, before we started the show, he said, man, with that kind of title, you better bring it today. And I'm like, oh, man, I definitely do. But there was some information that I got, and there was some things that I was studying, I've been working on. And, you know, in this day and age, because of life circumstances, because of the way the world is working, it was seemed to look like, you know, God ain't really telling or telling the truth or really sticking to what he said. It seems as though we are so, you know, distraught with things that are going around us. And, you know, the odds don't always meet the means, and things are so chaotic. And the same God who said he was going to keep us and he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us, all of a sudden we feel the same way. We feel left. We feel forsaken. We feel let down. And the reality is that God is still here. And we wonder, did he lie when he said he wasn't going to leave us? Was he telling the truth? You know, so we're going to dig into the word, and we're going to find out, did God lie? Because we need to know. We need to be assured. The Bible tells us that we need to come up with an answer. We need to have an answer for our faith. And we're not answering to our emotions. We're not answering to our feelings. We're answering to our faith. And that's a different conversation. And let me tell you that we have to distinguish between the two. A lot of times we talk to our feelings. We answer to our emotions. And sometimes we worship our emotions. What do you mean we worship our emotions? Well, worship is a constant thought. It is the presence of being there. It is the idea of, and we continuously stay in the presence of how we feel at the moment. And if we stay there, we worship it. And guess what, y'all? What we worship becomes our God. And God says, thou shalt have any other gods before me. And your emotions, your feelings can be your God, whether it be negative, whether it be positive. And if you allow negative feelings to constantly be on your mind, if you allow temporary circumstantial situations to constantly be on your mind, you become just like the children of Israel when they created golden calves and they began to build statues. Why? Because they wanted something to worship. And we don't want to put no other gods before the God that we serve, even if the gods become our problems. Even if the gods becomes, you know, our jobs or our lifestyle or our financial status or the lack thereof. So let's be mindful. Let's be mindful of where we are, what we're doing. And we need to understand that what God's word says is true. Not only is it true, it's definite. Remember the scripture in Isaiah 28 says, hey, that sentence, that life sentence, that death sentence that we all had, that arrangement is canceled. Man, I'm stuck on that thing because I just believe that's a powerful message. It's canceled. It's no longer allowed to carry over us. We don't have the paperwork no more. It's been destroyed. It's been dismantled. And some of us still stay in the same state where we feel as though, hey, we still carry that sentence. So we cheat ourselves out of the very essence of living life because we're surrounded by the idea of death. And we have to destroy that mentality. I want to first start with simple. The word says, yang, we all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Prepare the table before me, what? The presence of my enemies. He anointed my head with oil. Then he tells me that cup on it, though the surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in me, and we will stay in the beauty, we'll stay in the atmosphere, we'll stay in the realm of the Lord forever. As poetic and as articulate and as anointed as that scripture sounds, the reality is that nobody in this lifetime has ever said yay, has ever celebrated trouble. Nobody's ever said, yes, I'm going through a dark time. So how is it possible that we are supposed to change our minds, change our character, change who we are, to understand that the bad moments is an opportunity to celebrate? And it says, thy rod and thy staff, that means there are things that God is going to place with us to comfort us. It is not often in the darkest of situations you will feel comfortable. It is not always the easiest time or the worst of times do we feel like comfort exists. Why is it that we are asked to celebrate discomfort? It doesn't make sense. So let's look, let's find out what all of this means. Let's unravel the truth and stay in tune to what God has for us at this current moment. All right. So, I want to look at a scripture real quick. As soon as I get my notes, we are all over the place this evening. And that is so odd because normally everything just falls in line. But I guess it's one of those nights. And I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it being one of those nights where nothing kind of falls into place, but we're going to make this thing work. And I want to look at Numbers 23, verse 19. And it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We just got rid of, finished talking about Psalms and going through the valley of the shadow of darkness, but yet and still we're talking about hate. If I said it, it's going to happen. And if I said it's going to happen, it's going to come to pass. I've never seen darkness look like light. But somehow, God is saying, hey, if I said it, it's going to happen. So, let's keep looking. Let's see what else God says about him, whether he be telling the truth. Let's look at Hebrews 6:13-15. Hebrews 6:13-15, and it says, for when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee and multiply, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. All right, let's keep going further. But if our righteousness, let's go down further where it says that he endured. Stop it right there. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he swore by no greater, he swore by himself. God said, I can't swear by anything greater than myself. Saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I'm going to walk through a few steps here, and I want you to kind of get this because I wanted you to see the pattern. God did not lie. We just were impatient. Abraham was promised a seed. After years, 80, almost 90 years of waiting, and his wife Sarah, after almost 90 years of waiting, God gave him an heir. After he endured and stayed patient. God did not lie. We just weren't patient. I want to show you how God works, because it's not that we don't know God, it's just that we don't know how God operates. I want to prove it to you. One of the things that I dislike, I really just don't like as a minister, as someone who preaches and teaches the gospel, I do not like preaching to the audience's emotions. And what I mean by that is a lot of times preachers get up and they have circumstantial preaching, and then they always talk about God getting you out of your situation. Let me be clear. You ain't going through that many situations. And even if you are, your faith has to maintain despite it. And what I do feel like is that sometimes, because we understand the audience emotions and we understand how the audience plays toward how others feel, we dictate sermons to preach towards people's feelings. The problem is, the Bible says the heart of a man is wicked in all its ways, and no man should know it. That means your emotions will play tricks on you. And if I curve the word to your emotions, what I am doing is I'm presenting a God that will try, that changes, that uses how you feel to determine the God you serve. Let me say that again. If I tailor the word to your feelings, what I have done is I have created a God that is catered to how you feel. And you have now created a God that cares more about how you feel than his word. And I know people are like, well, that's harsh. You know, God does care. Yes, he does. But let's see how God feels about you. Let's look at the word. And let's see how God feels about us. Because God does care. But there's a difference. There's a way that God cares. He has a unique way of doing it. And we have to understand how God operates. All right? Because the Bible says this. The Bible says this, that God cares about us, but he cares about our expected end. God cares about us, but he cares about the end result. I know he loves you. He loves everything about us. He loves, you know, our obedience. He loves, you know, our praise, our worship. He loves all those things. But God, at the end of the day, he cares. He said, I know the thoughts that I think of you. He said, love, joy, peace. But after all of those things that he said, look, I am more concerned about your expected end. I'm more concerned of how you end your story, not how you begin it. And a lot of us, we fall at the end. And I'm gonna show you what it does. If we look at Matthew, no, I already read Matthew. If we look at Numbers 23, and I'm gonna read it to you again. I'm gonna show you something. Read it to you again. Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Why should God ever have to repent? He said, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to repent for what I designed. And unfortunately, a lot of us, if we can be completely honest, if we look at our lives, if we want to admit it to ourselves or not, some of us are upset with God. Because he said, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? God says, I'm going to make it good. But just like Abraham, we have to be patient. And because we lack a sense of patience, we lose the promise of God. You know, if we keep going further, in Romans 3:3-8, it says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What if some people didn't believe? Does their unbelief make God's power, makes God's promise void? No. It says, God forbid. Ye let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. I want to stop right there. I love this scripture because a lot of people think that when they hear the word judge, they're being condemned. But when God says, when I judge you, watch this, be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Some of us have turned the word judgment into a negative thing. Well, God says, when I judge you, that means I'm giving you the ability to overcome. When I judge you, I'm giving you the ability to see what's wrong so that you can defeat it. Judgment is not sent to condemn you, to throw you away. Judgment was put in place to show you error so you can beat it. If we keep going on to verse 5, it says, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, for God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounding through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. In other words, because I speak fluent King James, it's funny because I can understand the King James, but then when I get like the Amplified or the New King James, I'm like, what is he talking about? All right, in other words, here's what the scripture is saying. Is it, God cannot lie. So therefore, we have to understand that man twists the word. And he said, If God went away from his word, then that means I can use unrighteous things to gain righteousness. He said, if God was able to separate himself and to not honor his word, then I can sin and still be holy. And the word says, no, God forbid. Because if God didn't stay true to his word, then he wouldn't have anything, he wouldn't have any criteria to judge me on. Because we're all in the same boat. But God says, if I created a standard for you, not only do you have to keep it, I'll keep it too. We serve a God that says, yes, if you got to do it, I got to do it. If you have to stay righteous, stay holy, I have to stay righteous, stay holy. God is not going to tell you to do something that he's not going to do himself. I know we live in a world where sometimes, you know how your parents say, do what I say, not as I do. But God isn't saying that. He says, do what I do. The Bible says, he said, think not that Jesus has come to condemn the world, to condemn the law. No, the scripture says, no, I came to fulfill it. Think not that I come to condemn the law. No, I came to fulfill it. I came here to show you how to live. How did I show you? By keeping true to my word. Let's go to another point. And I want to show you another point, because there are some people in the Bible who didn't get it. And just like us, we didn't get it. Numbers 13, 1 and 2, and it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now I want you to watch this. God says, hey, Moses, I want you to send a member from every tribe to just go look at the land of Canaan. Just investigate. Check the land out. Now, let's see what Moses did. Verses 19, we're still in Numbers 13, verses 19 through 33. And it says, and what the land is that they dwell in. This is what Moses was telling the leaders of each tribe. Whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was that time of the first striped grape. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, and as men come to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron and Ahiman and Shishaia and Talmai, the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came unto the brook of Iskow, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought up the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the brook of Eskow, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and shewed the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land which thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people being strong that dwell in it, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites, and dwelled in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell within the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast Jordan, and the Caleb still the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, and we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to overcome against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people saw it are men of great stature, and they saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. God told Moses to check the land out. All he said was, hey, go, I want you to stand on a mountain. I want you to just go look at it. I didn't tell you to go inside and get fruit and bring back certain fruits and give a report on all the I told you to go straight to Canaan and check that out. And I told you to go see it from a distance. I'm going to tell you the next thing, because the first thing we worked on is that we don't want to endure and we don't want to be patient. That's why God seems like he's a liar, but it's not us. It's not him, it's us. The second thing is because we don't want to be patient and we don't want to endure, we tend to force our will and try to get evidence of what God has for us. And because we try to force our will and try to get evidence, we see more than what we can handle. Therefore, God's promise seems farther away because we're not willing to be obedient to God's command. We don't have enough faith to believe in the dose that God gave us. So if we want so much more, we want the big thing, we want the big grapes, we want more evidence, we need more proof. We're not willing to have enough faith in the small thing that God gave us, so we search for more proof. And we bite more than we could chew. And then we have a nerve to say, God don't want this for me because it's too big. It has too many variables. It's too scary. You know, there's too many giants in the area. But God said, this is your land. No, there's too many obstacles in the way. I never told you to look at the obstacles. So because of our lack of faith and wanting evidence that what God has for us is existing, we run into our biggest fears. We run into a mindset that would have never developed if we would have stayed on course. God doesn't lie. Our emotions do. Our emotions do. Here we are. Moses was only supposed to check the area out. Now he got people bringing back fruit. He got people, trying to, bring back different things and checking out the different areas and the surrounding cities. I never told you to check out the surrounding cities. God has told to move in a certain direction. God has told to get that business, to get that building, to start that ministry. But because we're looking at the variables and not looking at what God told us to do, we haven't moved yet. Let's look at the scripture. And it is this scripture is Hebrews 6:16-18. It says, for men rarely swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. In other words, a lot of times men swear by oaths. And they swear by oaths in strife, meaning they swear by oaths in order to settle a dispute. But God does something different. God swears by an oath so that he may show you his immutable power and to show you his promise. And his oath is not just to show you his promise, it's to show you that you're an heir. Verse 18, it says, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who hath fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I'm going to read this last part. It says, we might have strong consolation, who have fled the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God says, I don't make promises. I don't make oaths. I don't make deals to avoid problems. I make deals. I make oaths because you're an heir. And because I like to keep my word, so I swear by my word. And then he says, two things may be true. He said, two things may be immutable. He said, but it's impossible for me to lie. In other words, I'm going to hold my end of the deal. He says, but many of us might have strong consolation. Many of us might need strong counsel. We're dealing with something, so we may need more counsel. But then he says, who has fled for the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us? Whoever fled safety. I don't know about you, but I've fled safety. God says, I understand the agreement, the arrangement, but who's ever fled the safety of the arrangement? And I know some of us are like, no, I keep my word. I keep my end of the deal. But if we look back in our lives and we see our relationship with God and we wonder, how many times have we fled the ark of safety that God has surrounded us with? God told us to stay in this position. God told us to deal with this situation or stay here. Be faithful to this thing. How many of us have moved out of the ark of safety that God has promised us? Because we were unsure about the promise of God. And that's what he's saying. He said, don't move out of the realm of safety because of uncertainty. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't try to see the grapes. Just see the land. Don't try to see the surrounding areas. Just see what I told you to look at. Because if you look to the left, you're going to see more. If you look to the right, you're going to see more. And you may not be able to handle what's around you, but you can focus on what's in front of you. Yes, God has promised us some major things, but don't think he ain't promised us that with giants surrounding it. And don't think that just because God promised this to us, that we don't have to go take it. We think that God is gonna hand us everything. Like he's just gonna. God is not your Santa Claus. He is not your genie. You don't rub him and get three wishes. You don't write a list and God just drop everything under a tree. No, it doesn't work like this. Something God said you're going to have to take. Because when some of the leaders of the tribes came back, he said, look, we can take these guys. And you have to be in a position where you say, God, I see what you want from me. I'm willing to take it. But you can't take that unless you endure and be patient. You have to endure, and you have to be patient. So, no, God isn't a liar. We are. Right now, we are at the most important part of the show. And I always say this is the most important part of the show because this is the time that we offer people Jesus Christ. I can't give him to you. You have to accept him for yourself and you have to acknowledge him for yourself, but I can show you how to get to him. Right now, all I'm doing is being a GPS to Jesus, and I can't give you Jesus, but you can get him for yourself. And I hope someone's listening right now because they're looking at their lives and they're looking at the things around them and they think God isn't there because the atmosphere looked greater than the God. But the truth is, God is right where you want him to be. We got to be patient. We can't be like Moses trying to get an extra report, trying to figure out a way to boost our faith. through our own means. We got to stay on course. And a part of staying on course is understanding that you cannot do it alone. You can't do it by yourself. You need help. I can't live this life by myself. I've tried. It doesn't work. I can't have this thing on my own. I have to understand that something is greater than me. Someone is greater than me. And if someone's greater than me and he's willing to be there for me, I need to accept it. So right now, if you're listening and you've heard about Jesus, you've understood the concept of Jesus, but you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, right now is a great opportunity. And please, let's get this idea that you have to be perfect to come to Christ, that you have to have it together to come to Christ. That is a huge misconception. The truth of the matter is that if you could get it together, there would be no need to come to Christ. So if you knew someone with the answers, why wouldn't you ask them? And Jesus is the answer. So right now, if you're listening and you say, I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior, I want you to do one thing. I want you to first acknowledge that you're a sinner. And you just say, God, you know, I'm a sinner. And you ask for forgiveness. God, you know, forgive me for my sins. And then you ask him to come into your heart. And then you say, God, I understand and I realize that you died on the cross for my sins. But not only did you die, you rose for my sins. And the next step is ask him to be Lord of your life. If you've done that, you're part of the body. Your heir to the promises of God. And you're a part of the family. And some of you may have a experience, and it may be an emotional experience, and it may be a Holy Ghost experience, and I thank God for that experience, and I thank God for those who've had that moment. But some of us have made a declaration and not felt anything. And it is not about your feelings, it's about your confession. So even if you didn't feel anything, if you didn't have that emotional connection to your declaration, you're still a part of the body. Because God wants you to speak it. And then he wants you to recognize it in your heart. And guess what, y'all? The Bible says when one soul comes to Christ, the angels celebrate. So heaven has a party every time somebody gets saved. There is a party going on right now because somebody received Christ. And God is celebrating your victory. Because the first scripture we read, it says, death, the arrangement to death has been canceled. Your death arrangement has been canceled. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything you're doing tonight. We thank you that it may have been rocky in the beginning. It may have been a little rough in the beginning, but God, your word has come forth, your presence has come forth, and you are right on time. You are not a God that lies. You are not a God that word come back void. We just have to be willing to be patient. We have to be willing to endure, and we can't look for outside sources to increase our faith. We have to stand on exactly what you told us to stand on. We have to be prepared to be humble enough to accept what you told us to stay focused on. Not looking to the left, not looking to the right, but staying right on cue with you. You said it's not that you're a liar. It's just that sometimes we have great consolation. We kind of question things, and our questioning sometimes allows us to step outside of the ark of safety. So God increased our faith. The disciples said, God, he said, heal my unbelief. So God, for those who are weary, for those who are falling short, we pray that you touch their unbelief. You strengthen their faith. Because you said we are heirs. You don't make promises to solve conflict. No, you make promises because we are heirs. You make promises because it's rightfully ours. That's what it means to be an heir. We are born to have something. You make promises with us because we were born with an inheritance. Thank you, God, for the inheritance. Thank you, God, for the inheritance. Thank you for not just saving me, but preparing for me. Preparing something for me. So, God, I ask that you strengthen me. You strengthen all of us. You strengthen all of us, every ministry, every heart, every individual. God, let us recognize your word for what it is and learn to ignore how we feel when things don't look according to what you say. Give us strength to stay faithful, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Because you told us we will fear no evil. I'm not afraid. Give us boldness. Give us boldness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. I want to end with this last scripture, and after I end with this last scripture, we're going to bring Brother Rob, and he's going to give us our final announcement, and then we're going to close in prayer. And this last scripture says, Ephesians 4:22-26, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the mind and the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true and holiness. In other words, change your conversation. If you want to stay on course and see the promise of God, change your conversation. And put on righteousness. And be renewed within your spirit and your mind. You know, a pastor by the name of Pastor Mike Brown, he says, new creatures, old features. New creatures, old features. In other words, just because we are now new creatures in God, it does not mean we've replaced those old habits. So God has said we have to change our minds, change how we view things. Because if we call ourselves the children of God and we walk into the promises of God, then we have to change how we think. And a part of changing how we think is changing our conversation. And a lot of times people think, We have to change the conversation that we have with others. Yes, we do, but we have to change the conversation that we have with ourselves. We can't talk negative to ourselves. We can't put ourselves down because we think the world has already put us down. We have to change our conversation with us too. The next part of the scripture says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, check your emotions. Figure out, what am I angry at? Who am I angry with? Don't allow my anger to cause sin. Do you understand that we are in a crisis within the church, and I'm almost done. We are in a crisis within the church where 73% of people claim depression. And a large part of depression is bitterness. And the Bible even tells us that bitterness causes sickness. It causes illness. If we harbor anger, if we harbor bitterness, if we harbor disappointment, we will fall asleep in those emotions. God says, check your feelings. Because your feelings will keep you from the promises of God. God says everything, yea and amen. Yes, I'll celebrate and I'll agree. Yea and amen. I'll celebrate and I'll agree. If you are in a position where things don't look good, I'll celebrate, yea and amen. I'll celebrate and agree. What am I going to agree with? I'm going to celebrate the promises of God, and I'm going to agree that God's word is true. He is not a liar. I really hope someone got something out today. I hope that you heard the word for what it is. And I just want to let you know that God doesn't lie. Our emotions, our disobedience, our unwillingness to be patient and endure, those are the liars. Those are the traits that make God seem like he's lying. And we have to rectify it. God bless you. Now we're going to have Brother Rob, and he's going to give us our announcements real quick. And after he gives us an announcement, we're going to close in prayer. All right, Brother Rob, come on.
All right, real quickly, I'm going to do the announcement. This is the Product Purpose Cam Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight, whether you're joining us via phone or internet. We thank you so much for supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Net at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We'd be delighted to honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We're also on LinkedIn and iTunes, where you can hear any of our past and previous broadcasts. You just simply type in the show name or the host name, or you can go to where we broadcast and where we live stream, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And also, please feel free to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming advertisements and some of the times for our upcoming shows. Also, you can follow the links in any of our social media pages, where you can join us for a morning walk in prayer on anchor.com or Anchor FM. And once again, just follow any of the links on our social media pages, and you can just go ahead and follow and get a morning word of praise. And we hope you enjoy that. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. And with that being said, Reverend Burgess, I'm going to turn the show back over to your hands.
All right. I got 30 seconds, but in 30 seconds, real quick. I do a Bible study that's every other Monday, starting at 6:30 p.m. If you are able to come out, we are having the Bible study within a really large boutique on the boulevard. That is 2329 Cottman Ave. That is the pop-up store on Cottman Avenue. That is 2329 Cottman Avenue, and that is in Roosevelt Mall. And I am going to do a Bible study in the mall. And I really want you guys to come out, come celebrate with us, and we're going to see what God does in Roosevelt Mall. And also, let's keep our Pastor Toy in prayer. Let's keep our PK and family in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you bless us, you keep us, you heal us, you touch us, you deliver us, you talk to us. And God, move within our lives so that we can act like heirs, the people, the chosen ones of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.